from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Just looking at, we'll talk about the Astros a little later. I'm looking at an article Ken Rosenthal just retweeted. Orioles ace Corbin Burns aims for World Series and eyes free agency. Huh. Probably before last night's game is when he was doing that. The Astros shelled him.
I got to retract my ding.
Is Seth having trouble turning his microphone on today?
Not physically.
No,
remembering. I have no problem turning it on. It's remembering to turn it
right,
on.
Right,
that's
right.
My issue.
Right,
yeah. So yeah, Corbin Burns taken to the woodshed by the
Astros.
Right. Yeah. And meanwhile, Spencer Arrigetti turning into the version that every single one of us knew he could be back in April.
We thought,
this is all. Don't worry, everybody. These are just the minor little issues here in May.
ERAs flipped on these guys? Because Arrigetti sure looked like the 3.28 guy last night, and Burns looked like the 4.94. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Arrigetti, man.
Arrigetti should be eyeing free agency. 8 years from now or whenever.
Eric Getty's got a fieriness to him that's just feeling more and more like a Clemens fire almost.
And the hair flowing, too, helps.
Yeah, well, that's where the Lance McCullers, like the best version of Lance McCullers is that, when he's on the mound and he looks like he wants to fight everybody.
Yes.
Eric Getty's got a little bit of that.
Yep. So D'Amico Ryans was asked yesterday, as were everybody else who went to the podium. We hear all this talk about the Texans not being for everybody. Will Anderson said it in an interview. Aziz Alshire did a piece with DJ Bienaimé of ESPN where he went deep on why not everybody is cut out to be a Houston Texan. Here was D'Amico Ryans getting asked about that yesterday. What is it about the Texans that's not for everybody?
For me, it's just a style of play, right? It's how we play. It's a relentless style of play. It's a swarming mentality from all of our entire team. And it's hard here, right? First, starting with the conditions in which we work in, it's not the same anywhere else, right? We work in different conditions. It's a little tougher. Guys have to be able to handle that. And the biggest thing is not complaining about it. Like, we're going to work hard. We're going to be physical. We're going to play fast. We're going to practice fast. And guys, you're about that, then you could probably make it here.
And I think I loved hearing D'Amico talk about that, because we were joking about it yesterday. You know, like, they're out there in the heat every day, and they likely won't play a game in hot weather this year. Because they're in covered stadiums and playing up north most of the time. So they might not play a single hot weather game. So you might think, well, what are they actually really getting ready for with the heat? I think that D'Amico, one of the things I like about him, when you start mixing the new age analytics and sports science of recovery and all of that, that's all stuff that on the physical side of thing is meant to enhance your recovery. And sometimes I think there's some people that take it to such an extent that it's almost like the guys aren't facing adversity enough and they do get coddled or soft. D'Amico, I think, very much understands, no, you need to face it. You need to face physical adversity, and then we're going to give you as many tools as possible to recover from it quickly so you can face adversity again. And there's, you know, it's obviously it's not the same. There's different types of adversity, but learning to fight through that. And him talking about saying you don't complain about it, like, I think that's very much, it's one of those things that you've got to have a head coach who's the right kind of guy. to sell the message right. Because a lot of head coaches who think they're tough guys are actually just whining all the time. They're whining and whining and whining about how things should be. You know, it's like a grumpy old man who won't shut up about how awesome things were back in the day. Like with D'Amico, I think it's a, he wants you to face adversity, and then he wants you to recover from it. They'll use the GPS data to be sure they're not pushing it too hard.
Yeah, that's big.
But you want to be sure that when guys are fatigued, and when you're like, it's hard when you watch football. Like sometimes it's hard to appreciate how many mental errors there are in a football game. A lot of times that's why it's really dicey to blame a specific player, because a lot of times the guy that looks like he got beat is actually covering for somebody else's mistake, and you can't figure out what the coverage is sometimes because somebody's not in the right spot.
Yeah.
So, and like even really smart people, they fall into this trap because they're breaking down film. They're like, well, clearly they're running this. And you find out later, like, no, it's actually supposed to be cover three.
Right.
But
right.
The one of the cornerbacks completely screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
So like that part of it, I think D'Amico's that right blend. I've used this before. AJ Hinch, I think from a baseball perspective, had that right blend of being a former player who understands the player psychology of things and everything. He was a psychology major in college, but that also did have an appreciation for the advanced stuff. I think D'Amico's right there in that sweet spot.
They got handed a schedule. When it comes to the Heat, they play the NFC North and the AFC East.
Yeah.
Like, they play the one game down in Jacksonville that's in early December.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. Like, this, the Heat is way more about this being more like a boot camp than it is any sort of practical preparation for week three in Miami something like
that's
that.
What, you know, that's one of the things why I like, that's why I love farm kids so much, like Cade Stover. Like, honestly, there's no replacement for something. Sometimes, like for Cade Stover, there's times where he would have had to get up at 5 a.m. when it was -5 degrees out and you got to get the chores done.
Yeah.
And like, you can whine and complain about it all you want.
No,
like, who are you complaining to? Mother Nature? Right. Like, that's what you got to do.
It's the life.
And you kind of, so once you, once guys kind of get indoctrinated into it, especially if you're not allowed to complain about it, that it's just, this is what we do. This is the culture. This is the, these are our circumstances. And you still got to go out and play football. I think there is a little bit of a hardening there. Like, it's a good, you're hardening people.
Yep.
And it's good.
All right, let's hear from the players. They were asked the same question. I like this because these are some of the team leaders. Laremy Tunsil, CJ Stroud, Jalen Petrie are the guys that met with the media yesterday. These are three of the captains from last year.
Yeah.
Tunsil, Stroud, and Petrie. Here's Tunsil on why are the Texans not for everybody?
Not everybody can play for this system. Hunter D'Amico, I mean, we come out every day, we work hard, you're going to get the reps. Tough-nosed football, you know what I mean? If you're not built for that, don't come this way.
Okay.
There you go. If you're not built with that,
Laremy Tunsil,
you need to be a dog. That's why he calls everybody a dog, I guess.
Well, now
because he considers, since everybody, if they're out there, then they've got dog status. Problem was, he was also doing that when David Culley was the coach.
2021, yeah. Okay. No, now it's actual, but yeah. And Laremy's been working hard out there. I think there's probably people that roll their eyes a little bit at Laremy talking about it.
I mean, he's coming off a knee injury.
I'm taking up for him. Like, he's been out there every day working out off to the side. He looks to be in good shape. I don't know that he's in football shape yet. That kind of has played out, but right. he's in good, like, physical shape.
Okay, so with Laremy, so one of the things that's really good about Laremy as a pass protector is he's like a kung fu master with his hands. That's why I'm so intrigued by this matchup with Leatu in week one. The Colts first round draft pick, he's an edge rusher. He's got really good hands, very good technique. So he's facing Mr. Miyagi in his first game of the regular season.
Yeah.
And Laremy is he's surgical with his hands. He's just really good at like keeping guys just like with a hand-eye coordination that's kind of freakish, taking guys' hands off of his own body. So that takes, it's like a batter in baseball. There's some timing to it. There's some hand-eye coordination, and it takes a little while to get back up to his standards.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do a lot of, that's a nice thing about practicing against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and Derek Barnett and those guys. He'll get his reps doing that during one-on-ones and everything. So, yeah, I don't think he looks like his normal self yet, but he'll be just fine.
By week one.
Yeah.
Does Latu line up on that side?
He's been lining up on the right side of the defense, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good, man.
Yeah.
That should be
now,
fun.
Latu, I didn't watch him from last night yet. I watched his first preseason game. When I think it's Latu.
I don't know either.
So, but anyway, he, like, in college, he didn't have a physical element to his game. And it was where I was torn of him. He had a really bad neck injury. One doctor told him he couldn't play football again. Sounds like he maybe doctor shops for a university where the doctor would allow him to play, and he found one at UCLA.
And he became a wealthy man.
But he didn't really have a physical element to his game, mm-hmm. so I was curious about that. In the first preseason game, I thought he showed some physicality.
Okay.
And he did it against Garrett Bowles, who's a good, solid offensive tackle, yeah. starting offensive tackle in the NFL. So I think I'm intrigued by him. I'm torn because I hate all things from the state of Indiana and all things
you
Colts.
Like him though.
I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like him a lot better. I'll like him better with his second team.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once he leaves in free agency. Yeah. Here was CJ Stroud. Why are the Texans not for everybody?
He was out here today. It's hot. So that's one thing, like adjusting to the weather. On top of that, man, just like how we practice. We don't practice like at least I've only been on this team, but from my other guys been other teams, we don't practice everybody else. We practice hard. And that's how I love it. That's how I did in college, and that's what I'm used to. And, you know, I think that's what gives us our edge. And, you know, not everybody wants to be that, you know. So for have guys buy into that has been pretty dope. And, you know, Coach D'Amico has been at the front of that. And, you know, it's up to me and the rest of the leaders to be right behind them and leading the way as well. So, you know, I think it's not meant for everybody, but the guys are here. They're meant to be here, you know.
You know, okay. So when CJ's talking about other teams and what he hears about and what it's like.
A lot of Ohio State guys.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hard to pin anyone down to where it is or anything. But it's true. There's different cultures. We talked about it yesterday. And a couple of military people backed me up on this. I was glad I didn't botch it. When you go from one company to another, sometimes there's a vast difference in how things are run. And sometimes it's a matter of, like, they just do different things one place, but then sometimes it's you go to one company and it's okay, they are sloppy and they don't pay attention to detail, everything like that. So it's like that with NFL teams. You think they're all pretty similar, hyper-competitive people all put together, but, like, there's different standards at different places. I would call it the disease of professionalism, which is sometimes people feel like, well, I'm a pro, and I can kind of, you know, I'm really good at what I do. And you start to let some of the details and maybe some of the paranoia slide a little bit. Or you start thinking like, well, I'm a vet. And this is what vets don't have to work that
complacency.
Hard.
It's yeah, it's flavor complacency. Of complacency. Yeah.
But it's not actual professionalism, but it's in your mind. You're kind of at a set. Actually, I talked to a special ops guy once. I won't say which group because I don't because
it's classified.
No, yeah. I'd have to kill everybody.
You don't need to know
right
basis
now.
As to who I talk to.
No. But I think that, and he said that, you know, that does happen sometimes with guys because they're so elite. They go through the training, which is so brutal, and then they kind of like you think, hey, all these guys are super like running 9 miles a day, right? Like, no, some of them kind of get a little bit. They put on a little bit of layer, and they just figure like I'm highly skilled, and that's my skill set. I don't need to do all the other stuff. It's just it's a natural human tendency. That's where the leadership comes in,
absolutely,
and just in running a tight ship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what D'Amico is always very concerned with.
No doubt. Here's Jalen Petrie on why the Texans not for everybody.
Yeah, I think it's the first thing I would say is the brutal honesty. A lot of people, you know, lie to themselves, and it can make you feel good, but around here that's very hard to do because, you know, the truth is pushed here, and the standard is a standard, and the coaches do nothing but uplift the standard. The best players do nothing but uplift the standard, and that does nothing but bring everybody in the room up to the standard. So there's a high standard on the Houston Texans team, and, you know, it's not easy. You know, I wouldn't say that everybody can't play here, but it's not easy. So, I'm glad that I'm a part of the team, and I'm very thankful to be a part of this team.
Yeah, the brutal honesty part is true. And that's another one, too, man. Like, you want an environment of brutal honesty, but respectful brutal honesty?
Yeah.
Because there's brutal honesty where you're just trashing people.
Yeah, you're ridiculing
like people. Like
Tua describes Brian Flores sounds like the wrong kind of honesty.
Yeah. Like, so it's like you need to hear the hard things about yourself that need to be fixed. And honestly, when Jalen Petrie says it, and this isn't, I'm not castigating Lovie Smith or David Culley Lovie Smith, I guess, that, you know, people really blew Jalen Petrie up, like to an extreme degree after his rookie year. And I was nervous about it because Jalen Petrie did a lot of really promising things as a rookie, but he still very much played like a rookie. And there were things that he needed to clean up. And I don't know if maybe he was actually getting coached on it or being told the brutal truth. And I remember the first time I got excited about Jimmy Ward most when he was on Richard Sherman's podcast and he was telling a story about, I think maybe Richard asked about Jalen Petrie, and Jimmy said, Well, yeah, Jalen Petrie came up to me and he just mentioned that he'd had so many tackles his rookie year. And Jimmy was kind of like, that's not necessarily a good thing, man.
Yeah.
Like the safety having that many tackles a lot of times is a bad sign. You want your linebackers making the tackles. But one of the reasons Jalen had so many tackles was because the front seven was so bad.
Yes.
They were so atrocious. So, that's not that, and Jimmy wasn't saying it in a way of criticizing Jalen Petrie. I think he was more just talking about the situation. But also, it showed that Jalen Petrie had some educating that needed to be done.
Well, and him having that many tackles, there's team culpability in that, as you just pointed out. Like, if he wanted to make it about Jalen, Jimmy Ward, he said, oh, he had a lot of tackles. I'm looking here, you had a lot of missed tackles as well.
Yeah, missed tackles too, right?
yeah, you make a lot of tackles, but you miss a lot
of
tackles.
So when Jalen brought up brutal honesty, or however he termed it, I think that's probably, it's one of the things that was a good turnaround for Jalen. It's not like they had to all of a sudden, you know, beat him with a sack of soap or something.
Right.
But they just, being honest with the guys about where they need to improve.
Getting people weighing in on the roster for the Texans. Text message: I think Sims is out. Don't think they know enough about the kickoff to keep a return specialist. I would point out they do return punts as well.
They have not changed the punt return rules.
Steven Sims is very good at that. I would point you to the playoff game last year where the Texans scored one touchdown
against
the
lead.
Ravens. They tied them.
They had a tie.
They had a tie at 10.
It was close. It was neck and neck.
Neck and neck. They almost had a lead at halftime, but Kaimi missed that field goal.
That's right.
Yeah, and I would point out that Sims is the one who scored that touchdown.
Yeah, so the punt return is still very much a thing.
It's still a thing, yeah.
They're not trying to force that down your throat on the highlight reels.
We expect a lot more punts from the opposition this year if the Texans defense plays the level it did against the Rams yesterday.
That's a good point, Sean.
More punts to return when you're stopping the other team.
That feels, all of a sudden, that's what triggered my little, like, let's not get cocky here. Somehow you saying, hey, they might face more punts. Like, hold on a second, Cowboy. Let's not spend that lottery money all at once, all right?
Someone's asking, is Dylan Horton back? And if so, how does he look? He flashed his rookie year. He's not. And I don't know what to expect. I don't even want to speculate because of the nature of what sidelined him.
So he had cancer, and it was stage... It was
stage four. Yeah.
So, like, as we've seen with cancer recoveries, it's everybody's unique and individual.
He's rang the bell.
Yeah. But it's and John Metchie said a couple weeks ago on the midday show was that, like, you ring the bell and you're done, but like you're physically not the same.
Yeah, ring the bell doesn't mean I'm ready for football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the one thing John Metchie said that I didn't realize. Is like he was talking about the way it affects your body afterwards. He said he has allergies now where he never had allergies before.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's wild.
Yeah.
Because he's lived in the South for his, adult life. You know, Alabama.
Houston's
and
different,
here.
Though, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I never thought I had bad allergies until I got here. And then remember the one day I was telling you, I was speaking to a group of grade school kids about not doing drugs.
Yeah.
And then I walked out of the room and lost my equilibrium and fell down to the floor, slumped up against the wall, looking like I was on loose.
Like you were
something.
Doing drugs.
Yeah. And it turned out I had a sinus infection, or I had a swelling. Basically, my sinuses were all screwed up. My inner ear was all screwed up.
Wow, yeah. That affects
backed
your
up
balance.
In my inner ear.
Yeah, that'll.
But and I'd never had anything like that until I got to Houston.
And happened at a talk with some kids
about not doing drugs. After which, it was a total Elvis moment for me.
Yeah,
don't do drugs, Mr. President Nixon. I agree with you. Drugs are bad.
They find Seth.
You holding?
Seth on the toilet. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Oh, would you like to tell the people about injuries, Seth, here?
Yes.
Injury report. Yeah,
we have the injuries listed?
Real quick. I've got them right here. I'll list them, and then you do the tag here.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got Christian Harris, calf injury, Will Anderson, ankle injury, Jeff Okuda hip injury, Noah Brown shoulder injury. These are all frontline guys who will not be playing on Saturday against the LA Rams.
And that is your injury report brought to you by Mokarem Law.
There you go. All right, up next, CJ Stroud got his Cali fanboy on a little bit yesterday. He finally got to meet his hero.
Yeah, and this ties in with something we talked about yesterday. Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. So we CJ on getting to meet his hero. That's coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, the Texans and the Rams had a spirited practice yesterday. No fights.
Yeah, not spirited in the fisticuffs type of way.
Not in the Giants and Lions sense.
Yeah, it was just a good, crisp practice, I thought. I thought it was really good work by both sides.
Yep, for sure. I think a lot of respect between D'Amico Ryans and Sean McVay. You know, they faced off against each other for many, many years when D'Amico's the DC for the Niners.
Oh,
McVay's running the show for the Rams.
That was the thing I remember about just the Rams being in town. Like one of the things that stuck out to me about the type of team that came in. I remember when the Texans had a combined practice with the 49ers, and I think it was in D'Amico's first year as an assistant coach.
It was 2018. That was the Jimmy Ward, DeAndre Hopkins.
So the biggest thing that jumped out at me immediately then was you had Bill O'Brien's staff of coaches, and then there was Kyle Shanahan's staff of coaches, which all looked like these guys were... I couldn't tell who the coaches were and who the players were. Like, super fit, high energy and everything.
God, I hope we don't get into a coach fight.
Yeah.
It's going to be ugly.
D'Amico didn't even stand out amongst the coaches because they all look like fit and trim and everything. And then you got O'Brien's band of idiots.
Oh, my
there was
God.
A bunch of sloppy...
Tim Kelly.
Inept.
Poor Rack.
Yeah. But I do think, like, the tempo of the practice and kind of, like, the same attitude, it was like, okay, these are two similar teams.
Yeah, and it's a tempo where if you looked at those two head coaches, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this looks like the tempo of a practice, those two. Like, two fit, young guys, you know.
McVay is not, you wouldn't think that he might be an NFL player, but,
he's in really good shape. He's in really good shape. So, McVay, at one point in the practice, this was right after you and I got there, I think. They were kind of in between team sessions, 11-on-11 sessions, and it looked like McVay came up and started chit-chatting with C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was giving him some advice, maybe a little bit of teaching going on out there, I guess. Here was C.J. Stroud. He was asked about C.J. Stroud, Cali guy, L.A. kid, talking to the L.A. Rams head coach. What was that like, C.J.?
You know, just I'm a super fan of his, the type of scheme he runs, the way he calls it, you know, the way he uses guys in motion and just a whole bunch of different things. And he just seems like a good guy. And, you know, he just had some tips and pointers, also showed me a lot of love, you know, which I appreciate. But, you know, I appreciate him more than he knows, just watching film. Not even knowing him, just like getting better from the stuff that he does in that offense, along with Matt and those guys. So, you know, it's definitely just an honor just to know that he knows me, you know, which is dope.
Yeah, I like that part.
CJ's the best.
It ties
man.
In with something. I was talking about this with Reginald and John yesterday afternoon after I got back from practice. I hopped on with them for a little bit. And that's been fun the last couple years because they bring in Will Anderson, they bring in CJ Stroud, guys who have played at big, big, big time programs. And it was always fun to see that they still seemed very wide-eyed and just kind of in awe of the fact that, oh my gosh, I'm actually in the NFL. Remember how excited Will Anderson was to have an actual workplace? Remember, he's like, oh, I've got coworkers.
He was walking down the hallway at the night he got drafted. He's like, I'm not in college anymore. I'm in the American workplace. Yeah. We're coworkers.
We're coworkers. Yeah, he was pointing to the camera guy. Yeah. But the other part that was cool is that when I've met some of the parents of some of these guys from the last couple of years, it's always just refreshing to see that they have that same energy. They're just kind of like, even though their kids have played at big time schools or what have you, they're just kind of in awe of the fact that this whole thing is happening. So it's kind of cool. They really appreciate it. But CJ saying it's cool that Sean McVay knows who I am. Like that's at some point it'll lose its novelty over time.
Sure.
But it's also, I like that CJ, it still seems very much like he has a certain humility about him. And and he'll mention that, he still has a lot to learn. He doesn't think he's got it all figured out. Where sometimes, with Baker Mayfield, it felt a little bit like he might have thought he had it all figured out early on. And that attitude doesn't age well amongst quarterbacks, through a career or especially in year two or year three.
It is fun. That happens sometimes, when you find out, in this business, you find out certain people listen to your show.
Yeah.
They come up to you I listen to your show. You're way more famous than me. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It's a similar dynamic, I think, probably, I guess.
Who's the one that where you've been most?
Eric Bischoff, who used to run WCW. He's very famous in the wrestling world. He DM'd me on Twitter one day that he listened to my national show that I used to do across the hall. And he's not even a big sports fan. He's he's a lifetime Steeler fan, but he liked the way that I talked about the NFL because it was funny. It was self-deprecating. It was all those things that if you're not into the super nerdy part of football, you enjoy. He's like, man, you had me watching the draft again and getting back into football. That was mine for me, probably.
The biggest moment I had like that was when I was in my first couple years of doing radio. And I found out that Jeff Van Gundy was a listener because he stole one of my jokes and used it on a broadcast and got a lot of credit for it. Yeah. And I was like, good. I didn't begrudge him for even steal it. But I can't remember exactly what it was. It was basically he equated somebody not being able to make free throws like if you had a field goal kicker who just can't make field
chip
goals, can't make extra points.
Yeah.
At the time, the Texans kicker was Randy and
Bullock,
and it was going through a rough stretch. But it was I had made some really weird analogy. There's no way he came up with the same analogy. I was like, oh, he's a listener.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't like that he was getting so much credit for it on Twitter for being so witty in the moment.
You probably felt it was a good joke. Everybody liked it.
Sean, I'm not a joke writer. I'm Conan O'Brien. I'm not behind the scenes.
No, you're right. Hey, do you get... Do you get a little nervous that the LA coach is over there just chit-chatting with our quarterback?
An aging quarterback of his own.
Yeah.
There's a very good chance that Matt Stafford will be retired by the time that CJ Stroud's
time for CJ to mulligetta agitate for the next big deal.
CJ won the Pro Football Writers
mulligagitate.
That's good. CJ won the Pro Football Writers Association Good Guy Award yesterday.
Yeah.
We'll get it. Get it now before there's any kind of contract dispute, I suppose.
No, man, I don't know.
I don't think... Look, the Texans have already demonstrated that they're fully willing to extend a David Mulligetta client. Would I know that? Oh, yeah, they did it with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
6 months before he asked for a trade.
Yeah.
Not even 6 months. They did early September.
Early September, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're worried about whether Mulligetta can come to an agreement on a high-priced quarterback with the Texans, they've already done it once before.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so CJ got to meet Sean McVay, who he just said he's a self-proclaimed super fan of.
Mm-hmm.
He also got to meet Matthew Stafford, who is one of his quarterbacking heroes. Here was CJ Stroud yesterday, asked what impressed him the most about Matthew Stafford.
Him is just his toughness. Man, he's tough as nails. I remember watching the mic'd up with him, he broke his shoulder or something weird like that, and he finished the drive, and, his shoulder was down there falling out of place. And, I just respect that, because it's not easy. Just how he manipulates guys with his eyes, his drops, his arm angles. I've been a fan of Matt Stafford for a long time, and I wasn't trying to be like a fanboy today, but I asked him a lot of questions. Just try to just learn, and he was really honest with me and wasn't mean, which I appreciate. So definitely a huge fan of his, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, and to share a field with him was dope.
I could clickbait with that. He wasn't mean. Asked to give praise of Matt Stafford. C.J. Stroud said he wasn't mean.
He was funny though.
It was funny.
He was like the kid. He was like one of those kids standing next to the rope expecting an autograph.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, man. Like he might say no.
Yell at me or something. Yeah.
He wasn't mean.
That's what I'm telling you, man. He's like a kid who just stepped off the bus.
It's very refreshing. Man.
Yeah.
I like it.
He probably was a little bit like, I'm guessing CJ very much thought like, I don't want to be a nuisance to him, you know. Yeah. I don't want to be like some kid that's tagging along and annoying him while he's trying to practice football.
Yeah.
And Stafford was very complimentary of him as well.
Well, even if you're wondering how much CJ loves Matthew Stafford,
yeah,
this was CJ Stroud on the $1 Million Worth of Game podcast a few months ago, and he was asked basically like, who's your guy when it comes to other NFL quarterbacks?
He might be up there with Brady in there, bro.
No, come on.
No, bro. That's crazy. Let me go back. Hey, because look, I'm a look, dog. Hold on, before you do all this, I'm a student of the game. Stafford, a dog.
He is a dog.
No, you don't understand, bro. You saying that? That's all I watch. I don't watch nobody else. I watch Mahomes at times because Mahomes does some stuff that like you can't coach. Stafford, dog. He will beat you with the same thing every time. All that no lick stuff, I got that from bruh. Like, literally, that's one of my big, like, I'm a fan of his. Like,
if he's a great quarterback,
I be trying to find, bro. But like, we got the same trainers. I be trying to, like, go to where they're working out and just watch.
That's all I'm saying. Like, Charles Barkley.
Hold on. If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers, I guarantee he might have had more rings, for sure. I think Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford had more rings than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he have another ring probably.
No, I'd say he had, like, 3-4.
He might. It's possible.
Bro.
He good. But what I'm saying is levels of greatness.
Aaron Rodgers only having one ring is almost like, it's going to become, 20 years from now, it'll be like people not realizing that Benjamin Franklin wasn't a president. It'll be like, you have to be like, well, actually.
Yeah.
Not Alexander Hamilton either. And also, Aaron Rodgers only had one Super Bowl, by the way. Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird things.
And yet he's on the $100 bill now.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about running for office.
And I feel bad even saying that, like, only one ring. It's still impressive.
It's still amazing.
It very much feels like he should have had way more than one ring.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That was CJ. Now, there's people, Seth, on the text page thinking the exact same thing I was. I thought it yesterday when
McVay's
I was out there watching McVay out there interacting with our quarterback. Yeah, text message. McVay's actually trying to take him from us.
What if he's like, hey, you ever serve? You ever serve, CJ? I know you're probably, oh, man, I got to get you out there.
You were on the, you lived in the IE in Southern California, the Inland Empire. Come to the beach sometime. You can afford to live on the beach now.
You ever been to the helicopter show at Catalina or whatever they call it in Step Brothers? What's it called?
I love how we have Sean McVay sounding like Steve-O from Jackass.
He does a little bit. He's got a little bit of a whiny voice.
CJ, you know I did an 8-ball of coke with Mike Tyson in a bathroom?
Huh? He's just over there trying to turn him on to coke. CJ, you drink? No, I don't. I actually don't drink. You ever tried coke?
That's literally something Steve-O, John Granato and I had Steve-O in studio for an interview back when I was at my old station, and he was late for the interview. So John and I are just kind of killing time. In walks Steve-O. He was performing at the Improv that weekend.
Yeah.
In bursts Steve-O. We were talking about Mike Tyson, John and I were. Steve-O sits down, turns the microphone on, and goes, "You guys are talking about Mike Tyson? Oh, man, let me tell you about the time I was sitting on the floor of a bathroom with Mike Tyson doing an 8-ball of coke."
You know, of all the stories, that's when you tell you. Now, Steve-O's cleaned up since then.
He has.
Steve-O's like living on a farm outside of Austin or something, right?
Yeah.
So he's clean and sober now.
So is Tyson,
right. Yeah. Sometimes you have to make a decision about, like, well, should I tell this story? Okay, I'll tell the story, but I'm definitely not going to say who it is.
No, Steve-O.
Steve-O did not. There was nothing
filter.
In Steve-O's brain where it's like, well, maybe. Dude. Of all the people that I might not want to mention the name, maybe I shouldn't bring Mike Tyson into this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Tyson might not be cool with this story being out there,
dude,
you know?
It was funny.
Although Tyson himself would be the last guy on Earth right now that would actually punch you for. Well, he did punch that guy on a plane, but that guy had it coming.
That guy did have it coming.
I mean, he was definitely, like, 100%. That's not even, like, by old school. It was all, like, Tyson. The guy was in his,
And he plans on punching Jake Paul several times in November this year.
If it ever happens.
Yeah,
Jake Paul's too busy trying to kill his dog.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Did you see that?
I heard about it. Yeah,
I know. There's all kinds of stuff. I'm not good diving into that quagmire.
We'll get back to the Astros at the top of the hour. I thought this was an interesting question that somebody posed on Twitter the other day. given the Texans, you know, it's a strong roster, but there are areas of need still. If you could bring back a former Texan in their prime for this team, who would it be? They put up a poll on this. I don't know if Seth has seen this. I'm going to have him guess if he hasn't.
I've not seen it, and I will guess. You will guess? I will guess it accurately.
Promises made. Here we go. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Oh.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday.
Good job, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I think I've gotten it right all week. Thank you, Seth.
You've been good ever since I pointed it out. Yeah. I'm like the Texans, Sean. Not everybody can work in this studio because cruel truths are told.
Yeah.
Not cruel necessarily, but I'm going to tell you the truth. And Sean, you were saying the wrong name of the day quite routinely.
Frequently, yeah.
Which is, it would be excusable, except that I rely on you to be the one who actually gets things right and accurate.
like day.
You're my backstop.
I know.
And all of a sudden, my backstop's got a hole in it. Somebody gets brained with
a
baseball.
I know.
One of our listeners gets smacked upside the head.
I know. And you telling me that, it provides clarity, and I've focused on it, and I've tried to get better.
One of the worst things I ever, is sometimes I'll say something inaccurately, or, you know, like, this is why I don't look up stats. I try not to look up stats during a segment anymore, because I'll read the wrong column or something. And then later I see somebody use it on social media. Like, well, no, I heard Seth Payne say today that
they trust us, man.
That Abreu's actually been the best hitter in the AL
like
since
something
whatever.
Stupid.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Something really bad. Yeah. And there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I got to get on there and correct it on there. But that means there's thousands of people out there that were led astray.
Yep. James Roy is the one who had this question on Twitter. James is.
It's a really good question.
It's a fun question. It's a fun hypothetical. He's at James Roy NFL. He hosted the Bullpen, a Houston Texans podcast. He's a content creator. And he asked this: if you could bring back one of these Texans legends in their prime for this season, who would you choose? The choices are Arian Foster, J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, or D'Amico Ryans as a player.
Yeah.
So inside linebacker D'Amico Ryans.
This is a little bit cruel, honestly, to throw D'Amico in there. Because I feel like, you know what? It might be a little bit of a litmus test. Because D'Amico was a very, very good NFL player, but he wasn't the same caliber as those other three guys.
No, he's not. And yet I feel like they could use D'Amico Ryans on this team.
Well, right this moment.
Yeah,
this very moment without Christian Harris. But with, like, it's...
If Harris is back, then you don't.
No, D'Amico said something the other day, which was like he was being self-deprecating to Kay Adams, but it's a little bit of truth to it. He said, like, I couldn't play in today's league. I'm a big old school slow linebacker. He wasn't slow, but he was like right now he looks like an NFL linebacker.
Right.
He's all lean, super lean.
Yeah.
He looks like he's lost a few pounds.
He was a thumper.
Yeah. So I think honestly, amongst people who actually thought about this as an actual football team, I looked at Arian Foster, J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson, and we'll say D'Amico as a player.
Yeah.
I think if people are looking at this and they're thinking about, okay, what does this team need right now?
Yep.
And what could they most benefit from? It wouldn't make any sense from a team building or salary cap perspective, but because people haven't actually seen Joe Mixon play in the preseason, most people haven't seen him in practice at all, I think most people would have said Arian Foster.
Arian Foster.
J.J. Watt was out there at practice yesterday, and I've noticed, you know, especially since free agency, the fervor over J.J. Watt returning has not been as much. It's not been as big, and I think people realize, like, okay, well, we've got two really good edge rushers. Yes, it would be awesome to have J.J. inside, but he is 35 years old, and we don't know exactly even if he wants to come back and play. So I don't think the fervor for it is there as much as with all the consternation over Damian Pierce right now and not having seen Joe Mixon. And given the fact that the wide receivers room is just loaded, I think that people said Arian Foster.
38% of the people said Arian Foster.
Is that a simple majority? However, yeah.
It's neither. 48.3% said J.J. Watt.
Really?
Yeah,
oh.
J.J. Watt. So, yeah. Yeah,
I guess, okay, in his prime, maybe that was a big thing.
Like J.J.
That's
in his prime,
ignored.
Like, okay,
all
am
right,
I going to turn
all
down?
Right, all right.
No, I'm with you. I voted in this. I voted for Arian Foster. You can see right there.
You know, that's where I think that, but we've actually seen Joe Mixon And you see how like how he looks and how the offense looks differently in practice doesn't mean as much, but I know him from his film too.
Right. So then you feel like, wow, if we had Arian Foster.
So okay, so by committee, and that's the whole thing, like, okay, how much does two really good running backs really help you these days? Whereas with pass rushers, I think the people were more correct on this one than me. J.J. Watt in his prime.
Yeah, it's tough to turn down.
Yeah, like honestly, if D'Amico could figure out a way to have 17 All-Pro, like so D'Amico would go without. He's like he'd be telling Nick, like, can we go without a safety at all? Like, can we play with just defensive line? D'Amico loves him some
We're
defensive
linemen.
We're
playing a 9-2 formation.
Yeah, yeah. It's and that's where it is. I think when you look at guys like, okay, well, the you know, like the 49ers have Bosa, and that's one of the keys to why they're so good. They've invested pretty heavily in pass rushers, and just it's a committee deal.
Yeah.
And you look at the defensive line kind of like pitchers on a staff. Mm-hmm. Like, you can never have too many good pitchers on a baseball team, especially come playoff time.
Yep.
I think likewise with pass rushers, especially when it comes to, man, you're living in an era where you got to beat Pat Mahomes. Back in the day, it was, okay, how do you beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl? I don't want to call it a recipe because it's not so easy to do, but the Giants twice just had really good defensive line performances in those games. And it's kind of the one thing that's really, really hard to get. But if you have a fearsome committee pass rush, then that's the elixir. Like, that's the cure-all for really good quarterbacks. Your cornerbacks will let you down. Your linebackers at some point, no matter who they are, they'll let you down. If you have a fearsome pass rush, it affects a quarterback.
That's what happened. The one Super Bowl Mahomes has lost. Now, granted, they had offensive line issues. They were missing both their tackles in the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. But that's what it was. I mean, they destroyed it. They beat him like 31-9. They got after him all game long.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I feel a little silly not voting for JJ. I ignored the in their prime. Like, in their prime.
No, in their prime.
In their prime, JJ Watt might have been the best defensive player of the century.
One of the best. No, that is.
In the history of the game.
ND, you know, ND and I have talked about this before because, you know, you watch. Most people don't watch a lot of linemen, like interior linemen or even the edge rushers. You see the highlights and everything, but your eyes are going where the ball is.
Yeah.
The thing that was so freakish about JJ was how active he was on a play-by-play basis. If you watch the really like the best defensive interior defensive lineman, I think a lot of people, if you're not really attuned to it, you come away from it being a little bit underwhelmed because there's large periods where they're not making a play.
Mm-hmm.
Like JJ in that 4-year stretch where he won 3 defensive players of the year, his averages in things like TFLs,
insane
quarterback pressures and stuff, a lot of them were higher than any Aaron Donald had ever attained in a single season.
Yeah.
It was crazy how productive he was.
There were some that were higher than entire teams.
Right.
J.J. Watt, this many TFLs.
Yeah.
You know, the Bears, this many TFLs.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Okay, so I was trying to look it through. You know what I was doing? I was looking at it through the filter of the fans,
mm-hmm.
and I misgauged what the fans
A lot of
feel.
People are saying Arian on the text page.
Yeah, okay. It's tough. It's between, and now I feel like, that's why I hate exercises like this. It feels like we're insulting Andre Johnson. It has nothing to do with Andre Johnson. It's just this current team. It would be like, all right, well, we got to trade one of these guys.
Well, know? Andre would be the best receiver. Andre in his prime is better than the 3 guys they have right now. That's no disrespect to any of those guys. You just don't need a receiver.
He wouldn't do as much for this team,
incrementally.
This particular team right now, the way it's constructed, as J.J. Watt or Arian Foster.
I think the in their prime thing with Arian is an interesting one to me.
Right.
Arian, like peak Arian, is as good a running back as I've watched play in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And I mean that. And a lot of people say Kubiak system. It's a marriage.
Yeah.
And Arian being a 3 down back, who did everything at an elite level, ran at an elite level, caught at an elite level, pass blocked at an elite level.
Yeah.
Like peak Arian Foster. If Arian Foster had, as opposed to his seasons getting truncated by injuries and this and that, and he had a short window where he's good, if he had a typical Arian Foster year for 6 years, 7 years, he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, look at what the 49ers are willing to pay Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
You know, and like, okay, nobody batted an eyelash when they paid Christian McCaffrey what they did because he's a different type of running back.
Yeah.
The receiving threat, like Arian in this offense in this modern NFL would be even more of a receiving threat, or they would have utilized them like even more effectively, I think,
crazy.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. You might say it's the Kubiak system. Yeah, we're running a version of the Kubiak system. It's the Shanahan modified Bobby Slowick's own tweak on it, but it all starts with the outside zone, and that's what Arian was so freakishly good at. Yeah, he'd be really good in this system.
You know who's getting some love on the text page from like 3 or 4 people? Chris Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Chris
yeah.
Myers. Now, Chris, I mean, we're talking Hall of Fame level players in yeah. this poll. Chris isn't that, but he was a Pro Bowler. And you get Chris at center on an offensive. He's the brains of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of force multiplier effect?
I think
a good center
there's something
like that?
To that. I mean, now Chris was kind of the ultimate outside zone center, too, because he
yeah.
was undersized. But he could do
good
some
athlete.
Things. Like, there's an art to being a center on an outside zone run where it really, with all the offensive linemen, but especially the center, sometimes it's okay to get knocked into the backfield a little bit, but you just still got to be quick enough to get in front and swivel your hips on that nose tackle.
Yeah.
And not that many centers have that ability. It's like Jason Kelce and guys like that. And so, yeah, in this system, I think it might be really good.
Yeah.
But again, it's been tweaked since Kubiak. Like, they're more... And Kubiak tweaked it himself. Like, they're more... It's not... Back in Denver, they used to be just inside zone and outside zone. Those yeah. were their runs, with a few other things sprinkled in. It's a lot more diversified now than it was back in the day.
JJ won the poll on Twitter. Arian is winning the poll on the text page.
Okay.
The informal poll. A lot of people say an Arian. Vontae Leach gets a vote here on the text page.
Now, Vontae Leach is a bit of an old school fullback.
They
though,
need
too.
One of those,
well,
but it doesn't change your team or anything.
This is the
like
problem
that.
Is that you can use a fullback these days, but he's got to be ideally, he's also some kind of a viable receiving threat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's just too easy for defenses. If you line up with a bunch of road graders and teams know that guys can be covered with linebackers and it's no big deal,
yeah.
they're kind of like, all right, guy, fine, get your... If we've got any kind of an offense in the modern NFL, we can deal with you guys running on us a little bit, but not spectacularly.
Right. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's circle back to the Astros in the next segment here. 5.5 games up now, man. The Astros got a manager fired yesterday. They brought back an old face that had a listener to The Drive asking The Drive to do something that belongs to Payne and Pendergast.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have that audio for you as well coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.